Hello and welcome to the NDA podcast. My name is Justin Pearce and I'm the editor. Today's podcast is one in our NDA Meets series where we sit down and chat to some of the most interesting, influential and exciting leaders across our industry. And today is no different. I'm very excited to be joined by someone I've known for a very, very long time, Paul Wright, who's head of advertising at Uber. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Good to be here. Before we kick off, let's hear a bit about you. You know, I've known you for a long time, but not everyone, I suppose everyone does know you, but what have you been doing for the last 10, 20 years?
I've been in digital for at least all that time, I think, and probably a bit beyond. I've been very lucky, I think, in my career, worked at some great places, Apple and Amazon and Omnicom and startups and various other places. So it's always been a great journey, I guess. I met loads of people on the way and joined Uber about 6 months ago to help set the business up in London.
Uber's advertising division, I guess, call it that, seems to be sucking up talent from across the industry. And it is one of the most exciting stories at the moment, I think. But you've got big ambitions. I heard Dr. Mark at the Possible Conference in Miami recently talk about the fact that you've got a target of, I think it's a, checking my notes here to make sure I'm correct, 1 billion in 2 years, which is sort of an aggressive target.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk through a bit about how Uber thinks it'll get there?
Well, let's just talk about the business. I'll talk about the business first and then how we get there. So I think you've got to think about Uber as a two businesses in essence from an advertising perspective. One is what we do with our Eats product, Eats business, which is obviously delivery of restaurant delivery as well as convenience delivery. And then on the other side, you have the rides business. And what it provides us from an advertising perspective is, I guess, two different propositions. One is obviously for the Eats business is the ability for restaurant partners, CPG partners, to advertise their services and products to our audience as they're making a decision to what they want to order and be brought to them. And then the rides business is obviously the ability to place ads as people are traveling on in their Ubers based on their destination and various other data we get from there, sort of location-based data, essentially. So you've got two different businesses. And I guess one of the interesting things for us is often we are placed in the sort of retail media category, which we are definitely in one part, I guess, relative to Uber Eats. But obviously what we have with the rides business is much more of a brand-based proposition. And that appeals to a lot of non-endemic advertisers who are very keen to reach the Uber audience globally.
So it gives a bit of a kind of paint a picture of what the advertising experience is like in Uber. I think everyone listening spends a lot of their time in Ubers.
Yes, they do.
And I guess the Uber advertising is kind of new. So paint the picture for a rider. What does it do?
For a rider, well, so essentially the first thing we always start with is we want advertising to work within the experience. We don't want to interrupt the experience. And obviously we're not an advertising first business. So that's very important to us. So when you get into it, when you order a car, there are three stages essentially of the advertising experience. But the advertiser on our rides business owns all these three stages. There's the first stage, which is the dispatch stage. We call it the dispatch stage, where you are essentially ordering your Uber and you're waiting for a car to confirm. And we place an ad unit in there, which is non-clickable but swipeable. So it doesn't interrupt with the experience. And while you're waiting for the driver to confirm, once the driver's confirmed, it then drops down to another unit, which we call the en route unit, which is a slightly smaller ad unit, which is clickable. And then you go into, once you're in the car, once the car's arrived, then there's a smaller unit there all the way through your journey, which again is clickable, which we call the dispatch stage. What we found with these units is that two things. One is the time spent in them is running at a minimum of 90 seconds. In some cases, we're seeing much higher. You're a single advertiser, which I think makes a difference in this world. You are the only person in that experience. So the user's leaned in to you. And we're seeing very strong click rates, although I don't think we actually expected that when we launched this product, in the sort of 2 to 4% level. So we're getting people very engaged. Single unit, and with some click out that comes from there.
And what about the experience itself in terms of what sort of brands are getting most involved? What sort of brands are, you say you've got a high sort of engagement rate, high click through rate, somehow, but what brands are doing best?
Oh, well, actually, a lot of brands are doing lots of very different things and fantastic things. I mean, I think it ranges from, I can give you a great example. So a very bespoke example. So Christie's in LA wanted to promote one of their galleries downtown. And as many of you probably know on this podcast, there's a thing called the Frieze Art Fair, which runs across the world in various locations. And it runs in LA as well. And it runs in the old Santa Monica Airport in LA. Now, as most of you probably also know, I guess that the only way of traveling around LA is by car, either your own car or by Uber. So what Christie's did was then targeted people going to the Frieze Art Fair in their Ubers to promote the gallery that they were having an auction at, and that apparently made a big difference to their footfall. Not necessarily a big audience, but a very targeted audience, because obviously the Frieze Art Fair, there's a definition, you're qualified because you're interested in art, and obviously this was an art element to it. So you've got those types of brands. Then we have obviously big streaming products. I mean, if you look at the broad Uber audience globally, it is young, under 44, slightly, you know, upscale, upmarket, whatever, whichever way you want to look at it. So there's a lot of entertainment products working there, but we've got a really wide range of advertisers increasingly. We've had people doing gaming type ads within the app to promote various things, and we've had Lacoste doing promotions around the US Open, again around location. So the beauty of this, I think, is one, it's very simple. But two, the data is super interesting and allows you to do things that, you know, perhaps you don't necessarily find so quite so easy in the more traditional digital world.
So tell us a bit about how your division of Uber advertising, if we call it that, is set up. How's it structured? I mean, I see more and more talent across the industry sort of disappearing into Uber. So obviously, you're getting
them. They're disappearing into Uber. They're enjoying their moment.
They're rather than being sucked and merged. So how's it structured? How are you structuring the division?
So we've got about, I think we've recruited over 250 people now globally. We've got sort of three. In my team in the UK, we have three core structures that we focus around. One is our restaurant partners, because obviously that is critical for the business's success, both from them and from our perspective. The second area is the developing area in some delivery services and ads around CPG. And we think that's a really big opportunity. Various CPG brands have told us, obviously, this is a core focus for them going forward. And in a delivery environment, obviously CPGs don't necessarily have the opportunity to have the same presence as they would do in normal stores. So that's a big, big focus for us. And then the other focus is around, as we were just discussing, the sort of non-endemic Uber brands and people who want to target our audience, target different car users, whatever else it happens to be. And that's a sort of wider group. So that's essentially how we're set up. Obviously, within that, we also focus very much on measurement. We're very careful with our data usages because we want to do the right thing, and a variety of other services. And we also have a creative service team as well that helps with the creation of the ads, particularly in the Rides app, because I think there you see a real need for context. Recognizing that the users on the journey makes a huge difference to the engagement rate you get out of the ads.
So, what exactly do you mean by that? And then you use on give it.
Well, I think the thing is, you know, we've had. I think we notice where we get the best response rate or the best time spent is when the advertisers recognizing the users' intent, essentially. So, the Christie's one's a good example. The study we did with Lacoste as well is a good example where you know that in Lacoste's case, we were targeting people who were interested in tennis. And we worked out some locations where people would be interested in tennis and also people, you know, on all that type of thing. So I think recognizing the user's interest or reason for journey, I think, makes a difference. And that helps on the engagement.
So about engagement, and obviously attention is one of the biggest buzzwords in our industry today. It's going to dominate Cannes, it's going to dominate ATS, it just dominates. And, you know, back to that talk by Mark, Dr. Yep. Mark in Miami, he gave us some interesting stats around attention. I guess there's no sort of place where you're more focused, I guess, than in Uber. So give us a bit of insight into how the attention argument.
Well, I think the attention, I mean, the thing is with the attention is that for us is you have a consumer who's looking at the app waiting for, you know, the Uber to turn up or just checking on the map where they are on their journey, that type of thing. So you've got a very good attention to the app itself, and the advertiser can benefit from that. The same is true also, actually, when you think about it, when we think about Uber Eats as well, if you think about we're placing ads at post-checkout areas. So as people are waiting for their delivery to arrive, so you've confirmed that you want, you know, your curry to be delivered or whatever else happens to be, there's a confirmation screen saying we're preparing your order. And we place ads there as well, which is a similar area of intent, of interest, because people are going to stay on that screen while they see what's happening on their order and what time it's going to be delivered. So I think from our perspective is tapping into those moments where people have focused time, where they're waiting to do something or they're doing something with us. And then with the advertiser, the opportunity is the advertiser can engage properly. And what we see on the Eats side on that type of model, where the obvious thing is people in, say, the streaming space, because if you know someone's going to be ordering food, what are they going to do next? You know, are they going to watch TV? Are they going to watch a program? Are they going to do something else? But that's a sort of, that's again a context element.
So this all sounds kind of perfect, really perfect advertising environment. But What are the most interesting challenges? What are the biggest challenges you've found coming in to lead this business in the UK?
I think with all businesses, it, you know, it just takes time to set up. I think it's, you know, hiring people is who can deal with a very fast growth business is a very interesting thing, and it's taken us time to get the team we've got, but, you know, that's the way it goes. And I think also we need to get ourselves established within a market, and it takes a while. We're not known as an ad business. It's not, you know, we've coming from zero to somewhere very quickly. So that can take a bit of time. But the reception generally from every advertiser I have spoken to, my team has spoken to, has been incredibly positive. I think mainly because of this clarity of the way it works, and also the fact that a lot of these products that we have are, you know, soulless advertiser, and, you know, you don't have to compete with lots of other brands or any other things within the experience.
It's really interesting, that soulless advertiser point of view. I mean, I suppose the first question is kind of why, and second, is that scalable, i.e. maintainable? You know, how can you make sure that's going to be... Is that the case at the moment, because it's new, because it's novelty, because it's test budgets?
I think we're always looking for ways that we will improve and make it more systematic and processed. But I think, you know, the full ad experience that we have on rides will for in the medium term certainly remain the way we want it to remain, because I think our ultimate principle is always with Uber is what works for our customers. And we want to make sure that it always works for our customers, because the last thing we want to do is make, I guess, advertising interfere with the customer experience. And that's not a benefit to us as a business. And I guess that one makes a lot of retail media type companies like us slightly different to traditional media companies, because we always have another business that we have to honour, and rightly so.
Retail media, that's as buzzy as attention. And I know you're speaking on a panel at ATS next week on attention, on retail media, sorry. I was talking to Jill Orr at Critio in this very room that you and I are in now about retail media. It's a fascinating space and just growing. And the question I put to Jill sitting here was, you know, is retail media, how can you define it? Are Uber and Deliveroo, et cetera, retail media? You know, she had a great answer. And you very clearly position Uber in the sort of retail media framework lens-ish, but how does Uber advertising fit into retail media?
I guess on the Eats side, it's probably more of a traditional retail media model where, you know, you've got intended an audience with intent. So in the case of Uber Eats, they're coming online to work out what they want to get delivered. And then there's, you know, competition for them from various, you know, restaurant partners or whatever who they're going to choose.
And that's very similar to a traditional model where someone goes to an ASOS and decides which brands are going to buy. Same principle there. I think the difference for us is what I said right at the top of this, is that when we look at the driver experience or the rides experience, that's not really a retail media. It's more of a in-car attention model, I guess. And that takes us into a different area. And that's something that we probably sort of, I don't think we have, certainly in the UK, any sort of other people doing that type of model yet. So I don't know whether we're retail media in that bit. I do think someone rather casually called us utility media the other day, which I'm not so sure is perhaps the best of phrases either, because I don't quite know what that means. I think the key thing with retail media is ultimately the first party data. And in both sides of the business, we have first party data. Of course we do. But I think we're probably more in that retail media space when it comes to the Eats business. And I think what we do on rides is a slightly different space at all, and a new space, I think.
So what is your data kind of sell promise play to advertise? So we're first party data, and again, first party data is the new goal, the cookie's going away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But so what's your data story? What's your data offer to advertise?
Our data offer is a combination of things. I mean, it's obviously on... let's just take the rides business first. So I think the rides business, our data off is all the location data that we can collect and we have to use. Now, we're very careful with that data. We could go down to much more granular detail perhaps than we do. And someone, for example, asked us whether we go down to an individual building level, and we won't do that. We'll only do... You know, tourist destinations, because I think that's a view that we have, that be responsible, do the right thing. And I think it's the right thing to do because, you know, I think there's always a danger in advertising. We go down rabbit holes of targeting and they end up trying to sort of chase one person around a room or whatever, essentially. And that's not really what we should be doing here. So we will go to, you know, I've got, you know, there advertisers who, we've got a campaign running that's targeting sort of people coming to and from Heathrow. That's fine. Or people who, I mean, we did one for Adweek Europe where we just targeted people coming to and from the picture house.
Okay.
So there's a lot of data. You know, if you look at the UK, we've got a very strong rides business. We have a lot of very interesting data, and we can combine base data around the user with the data in terms of destination, but again, on an anonymized basis in a very safe environment. And then on the Eats side, obviously, we collect a lot of data in terms of transactional data and that type of thing, which we can then use to help partners, you know, get into the top 5-6 feeds or whatever that they need to get into in order to get into the consideration set. And we can do a variety of targeting there, retargeting and those types of models. But all the data is carefully managed, and one thing that we just want to, you know, it is fascinating data, really interesting.
Well, it is, and everything you talk about are cabs to the picture house for Adweek and people going to Gatwick and back from Gatwick. You know, you couldn't be more pure consumer journey, and I guess you can be more kind of omnichannel in the same way. And omnichannel marketing, every brand is trying to get to their perfect omnichannel strategy and stack and approach. So tell me a bit about how you see Uber fitting into this omnichannel strategy, a brand's omnichannel marketing strategy.
That's a good question, actually, because I don't know whether we've had that conversation with too many yet. A couple of examples in terms of conversations we're having at the moment. We're seen as very complementary to existing strategies. So, for example, if brands are doing activation events, or they're particularly focused on an event like, say, Pride, could they work with Uber in certain cities where Pride is? The answer is yes, we could. So we're very complementary there. I think we're also very... we're starting to be, I think, used as maybe a sampling type activation, in the sense of we have run campaigns for both streaming companies and for music companies, where we've actually been able to link through to people experiencing, so they can go and link into Spotify or whatever else happens to be, to experience a new album or whatever else happens to be. So there's that. There's, I think, brand awareness. Generally, we are looking at brand awareness as a key metric because, again, engaged audiences, not a lot of distraction. We could make a big difference there. But I think I'm sort of the opinion we're not quite – we're so young to market. We've still got to work out how all that's going to work. And it will vary according to, you know, particular target markets that people have. But we haven't – I think every time I go in to talk to clients, we always come out with something that we can do and complement, which – is a very positive thing, but I don't know what that necessarily means for us in the long term. But it's always, there's always, oh yeah, you could help us with that, or you could help us with that, or yes, we can do that. And I think that's just particularly on the uniqueness of the data. That's where we sort of thrive.
Any particular sort of platforms or integrations you would be excited about? You know, all brands come to you with ideas and you say you could do it. I mean, digital out of home, as an example, or CTV, or what sort of platforms do you think could be a nice, not now, but you know, eventually could be
well,
a
nice integration? Well, I think, obviously, and I know Mark talked about this in Possible, but the way we're thinking about in-car goes beyond what we do in the phone, but potentially goes into tablets. And we're also doing some tests in the US around tablet market. Then the idea is that a tablet sits on the back of the screen, back of a Uber. In the back of an Uber, you walk in, your map's up there, and you've got an engagement. And then there's an opportunity there. And again, you know, we have on average about 22 minute average ride. So if we think about the Uber Rides app, it's probably taking about 90 seconds to 2 minutes of that engagement. So what else can we do within the car environment? So I think that's the next big area for us in terms of growth and opportunity.
And what in terms of next big areas? What about the new services on Uber, such as Uber Flights, which I've used, and Uber train booking and everything? Because I mean, I personally love Uber. It just works for me. I've loved it for years, and I love the fact that now Uber's kind of more of a sort of a one stop shop. I will definitely use it for that, and I think we're seeing lots of consumers feeling the same way. So, what opportunities do these new services offer in terms of advertising?
Well, I think nothing specific in terms of advertising at the moment. It's more of a service offering and a greater way of engaging with our customer base and providing better service to them, which is obviously a good thing. But I think just wait and see on that front. We're just not there yet.
Okay. So what about, you know, you mentioned sort of different formats, so it's advertisers, the creative palette of you know, the Uber advertising experience. Tell us a bit more about what sort of creative formats work best, especially I think it's just kind of fascinating that, you know, you don't want to interrupt the consumer journey, which every tech firm and advertiser says, but I guess it's even more important than Uber because people really, all they care about is getting to the place they're going. So
yes.
What creative formats do you
creative formats. So, there's a couple of areas here. Firstly, gamification. We have done a couple of tests with mini playable games within the ad format, which I think work really well because they recognize that the user has a bit of downtime. They're just waiting. They're waiting for the car to turn up or they're in their car and they just a bit of a downtime. And that has worked very effectively and we're rolling that out more widely. The next area we're looking at naturally, again, Mark talked about this Impossible, I think, was where we go with video and that type of thing, because again, that can be an entertainment format and we're at early stages on that. And then I think it's just a question of what else we think we can do within the environment as, you know, people get more used to ads in the environment and what else we can test. But I keep saying this, it goes back to context. There's no point just doing it for the sake of doing it. It has to work within the brand's remit and also within the user's understanding of what they're trying to do. So that more of those types of things we'll see. And, you know, whether we can get to other things that will benefit users like vouchering and that type of stuff, I guess, is an area that we'll look at as we go, as we grow as a business.
Kind of, I was going to say in-car commerce is a new sort of area, but in-car commerce, but you know, you're an Uber, you're going somewhere, especially if you're abroad, going to a hotel, you don't live in the city, can you order something to then be sort of be at your hotel when you arrive there, or, you know, that sort of thing?
There's certainly some anecdotal evidence that people do that in their own home when they're coming back with an Uber in their own homes. we have yet to quantify that opportunity, but I think there is this element of, yeah, you're coming, you're either in you're going to a hotel or whatever, and you want to do this type of stuff. So I think there's an interesting area there. But again, early stages for us. I think we're discovering the sort of behavioural elements, and then working out how we offer within that.
The one element in this kind of ecosystem we haven't talked about are the drivers.
Yeah,
you know, Uber drivers are always in the news generally. So what's the opportunity for drivers? Do they have a role in Uber advertising?
I think so. I mean, I think in the tablet world, yes, that's what we're testing at the moment. Is how you, because obviously in a tablet world where you have a tablet in a car, you've got to make sure that the tablet is on and it's active and it's in the right place, so the drivers can benefit from that. And that's a model that we are looking at the moment, and then we'll see where we go from there. I mean, the key thing for us as a business is to help drive, you know, and I think we've made this public, to help drive profitability of the company as well. And obviously that helps everybody in the ecosystem from there as well. So I think there's two areas that drivers will benefit from.
Brilliant. And then agencies, can we talk about advertising a lot? So don't talk for or against agencies, but how what's their reaction been? Again, this seems like the most obvious kind of buy, and it's so in line with so many industry trends. What's the reaction been from agencies?
I think generally on a macro level, obviously there's a lot of challenges going on within the marketplace. So we're not walking into perhaps as much of a growth marketplace as we would have been a few years ago. But I think you're right. I mean, I think it does tap into a lot of what they're seeing. And most of the agencies we talk to have been very, very engaged and supportive. It is a new format, so it does take a little bit of time perhaps to talk through clients in terms of how it works and even realise the potential of it. But we've had many agencies in London who've really embraced it, and more on a daily basis. I mean, it is a very interesting, in my career I've done many things, but this is one of those ones where every time you go to a meeting, you come back with an opportunity, because there's always something. So it's just a question of talking to as many people, developing our case studies and developing our work things. But the agencies are great. I mean, I think they can see us in a very different space perhaps, and they would see a lot of other businesses as well, which is helpful.
Is it clear to agencies in terms of where it's being bought? Anything new that comes in, who owns it? What sort of team owns it? Ever-present?
Well, I always think this is a funny thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, having been agency side myself, there is always a temptation to want to bucket businesses into particular areas, because it's sort of, oh, there's a dedicated team for that, and there's a dedicated team for that. There are businesses that cross over those areas, and I guess we're one of those. So that's good, but we obviously have to establish that quite rapidly, because we're not, I mean, yeah, are we out of home? I don't believe we are. I think we're predominantly a mobile business, but, you know, some people may, as you would suggest, think we're out of home, but we're not always out of home, so, and it's mobile, so it's fine. So I think our job is to demonstrate the effectiveness of what we do, and then I think the bucketing or the categorization doesn't really matter. Because I think that's the way it's going to be. And we're going to have, you know, if we have video, does that sit in an AV team, or does the Rise business sit one place and then the Eats business sit somewhere else? And, you know, we'll see. I don't believe any of that is true. I think you have to look at Uber as an audience base first, with lots of touch points in different areas. And how do you engage with that very attractive audience? That's how I look at it.
So let's kind of finish up. And, you know, you keep saying that Uber advertising is new. You've got to go out and sort of make new relationships and, you know, rekindle old relationships, start new ones. And there's a lot going on at the moment in the industry. It's, you know, we were just talking before this podcast about Pragmatic Pioneers. We're both at, and ATS is coming up soon. Cannes around the corner. Two around the corner for my liking. It's getting very fit. But, I mean, I know Uber advertising, I guess you've got to be everywhere, and you seem to be, but Paul, you've been around for a long time.
Thank you.
That's very rude.
But probably is. Yeah.
Yes, fair enough. What's your view of the industry at the moment in terms of, you know, I don't want to mention the pandemic word, but, you know, it's not long ago there was nothing and now we're rushing back and it's as busy as it always was. What are you most excited about and how useful are you finding the industry infrastructure to help tell your story?
I think it's great that everyone's coming back together again. I think everyone's looking forward, you know, to engaging again. And I think that's brilliant. And I think it's a great time, therefore, for us to be in the market because, you know, people are looking for new stuff. I do think we're still, depending on which categories of areas you go to, there's still a lot of talk. I was at a conference recently where there's a lot of talk still about cookie deprecation and all that type of stuff. And it just felt like we hadn't really moved on since the pandemic in that area. Now, I know that's obviously related to when Google decide when they're going to close down that side of the business. But, you know, that's fine. But I think, you know, we and others, I think there's going to be a shift. There's a shift happening within the industry at the same time as all this re-engagement. And it's partly driven by retail media, partly driven by first-party data. So all these things happening, and I think that's a good thing from our perspective because we sit in those buckets, I guess. And I think, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think the challenge for agencies, and the agencies are doing this now, is where they sit on e-commerce. Okay. Because a lot of the big agency groups, to be fair, have been not necessarily specialists in e-commerce. They've done brand activity or they've done pure performance activity, but they haven't really crossed into the e-commerce area. And what we're seeing now is divisions within major multinational brands creating e-commerce divisions and focusing on things such as delivery and that type of thing. And I think you're starting to see the agency groups going, hey, right, we've got to do this as well, because otherwise we're going to miss out. So that's going to be a big shift for them, because running an e-commerce business, having worked at various e-commerce businesses in my career, is a very different world to running brand activity or whatever else happens to be, or, you know, doing a TV campaign, because it's very immediate, it's very daily, it's like, you know, and has different metrics and performance perhaps than people are used to. So I think that's going to be a big shift change that's been driven partly by retail media, partly by first-party data, but also part, I think, a general move generally to get e-commerce setups better integrated into businesses.
Well, Paul, thank you so much. That's the end of our time. So,
pleasure.
Always a fascinating chat. And then we do think, you know, Uber's definitely the most interesting story in the ad industry at the moment. So look forward to seeing you at Cannes and ATS and everywhere else. And thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.